my side, living for the Lord and doing what's right, knowing my sins have all been covered by the great I am. No need to worry, fear, or care, for the Lord is always there. Let come what may, I'm on my way, I'm walking by faith. Sometimes I can't see what lies before me.
I follow him into the darkest night,
but every step I take, it draws me closer.
I won't turn around because I found that Jesus is the light, the light. I'm walking by faith and not by sight, living for the Lord and doing what's right, knowing my sins have all been covered by the great I am. I am. No need to worry, fear, or care, for I know the Lord is always there. Now come what may, I'm on my way, I'm walking by faith. Now come what may, I'm on my way, walking by faith.
Wonderful special. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 86, the 86th Psalm in your Bibles, if you would please. Psalm's right in the middle of your Bibles. And then the 86th chapter. And when you find your place there, if you would, if you're able to, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 86. And I'd like to help, I would like for you to help me in reading this, if you would please. What we'll do is I'll read all of the odd number verses. You read all of together the even numbered verses. So I'll start in verse 1 and you pick up in verse 2. I'll do 3, you do 4, so on, all the way down to the end of the end of the psalm here, pausing at all the colons, semicolons, commas, periods. That'll be good. All right, verse number 1, I'll begin. You pick up in verse number 2. The Bible says this: Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me.
Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works.
All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name.
I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them.
But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth.
O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid.
Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word. Lord, for this psalm, I ask now, Lord, after we've had all the singing, I hope that it was pleasing in your sight, Lord. I ask now, though, that we would focus in our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, all upon your word and what you have for us from this message. Lord, I ask that you'd be with Pastor Becker. Give him exactly what you want for him to say. Lord, be with him this message. Give him wisdom and liberty as he preaches. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to stay in this psalm this morning, of course. It's Psalm 86 here. I want you to look at one verse we're going to focus on this morning for the most part today. In verse number 10, Look at this verse. It says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." We serve a great God, don't we? We'll try that one more time. I know you're priming and getting going still, getting your snacks out for church. But the Bible says, "Thou art God alone." We serve a great God, don't we, today?
Yeah.
Amen. We serve a great God. This morning, I just want to brag on God today. We sing that song this morning. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. That's good stuff there. If you can't sing with that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Not saved, not right with God, not paying attention. Maybe you fell asleep. I'm not sure. But what a friend we have in Jesus. He is God alone. I want to take some time this morning just to make big of God. Too often we make big of things that make no difference for all eternity. The stuff this world literally stops for. To congratulate and have awards and to lift up people and things. But yet we put down God. And when I say we, I don't mean us, and it should not be us. But if we're going to make big of anything today, let's make big of God. In verse number 5, it says this, "For thou, Lord, art good." We serve a good God. I hope you know that. We serve a God that has never lied. He's never done wrong. He's never sinned. God has never brought evil into our lives. That is a byproduct of sin. That does not come from God. God has never made a mistake. If God had ever sinned, He could not be our Savior. If God had ever had one wrong thought, one evil motive, He could not have been our Savior. We would have no hope of heaven. But God is good. He is sinless. He is perfect. And He was that perfect sacrifice to die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. That is why He is the only way to heaven, because He is the only perfect sacrifice that could have taken our place. When we look at this, that God is good, we realize that we are not. All of our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. People want to say, "Well, man is really good." I think, have you looked around lately? If you turned on the news, that man is inherently good. No, man is inherently bad. The Bible says that as one man sinned and sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We are sinners, but God is good. God is perfect. God is holy. God is just. God has never sinned. God has never made a mistake. Never made a mistake. We can't imagine that, because we make mistakes not even knowing we made mistakes. We make mistakes and other people have to remind us that we made mistakes. God has never once made a mistake. In the creation, in Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, He spoke it into existence, and God looked at everything He made, and it was what? It was good. And then as He finished and He completed creation with mankind, and He looked at everything He made, and it was what? Very good. See, when God does something, it is always good. If we're going to blame anyone for the sins and failures today, we don't blame God. Don't blame God. God is not to be blamed. We are the ones to be blamed, because we are the sinners. But God is good. God is good. God has never made a mistake. God has never sinned. God has never forgotten you. There's not a moment in time that God has forgotten who you are, where you are, what you're going through. God is good. He is all-knowing. He knows everything, unlike other people that really think they know everything, but they don't. But God is all-knowing. You ever see someone that you should know, and they enter, and you think, "I think I know their face. I'm probably related to them." And you and you go and see them, and you're like, "I know who you are, but remind me," because we forget. We sin, we make mistakes, and we fail, but God never does. Psalms 34 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see. If you just for a moment, maybe you don't know you're saved, maybe your first time in church, I don't know the case, but when you come to God and you realize who God is, you can't help but come before God and realize that He is good, that God is wonderful, that God is great. "Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." See, God is good, but is even better when you're walking with Him. He's even better when you know Him. He's even better when you're following Him, and then you are blessed. You get around a lot of that goodness of God, and you let some of that goodness fall down upon you, God is good. Look at verse number 10, if you will. It says this. It says, "For thou art great." God is not only good, but God is great. Great means this: distinguished by rank, office, or power, elevated. You ever see someone that walks into a building and they're in uniform and they've got all the badges and the stars and all that stuff, and they walk in and you about feel like you need to stand at attention. And you're like, I don't even know what all the ranks mean and all the badges mean, but I feel like I'm going to be in trouble if I don't, because they look distinguished. I don't know about you, but if you go shopping after church and you go to Save More like half the church does afterwards, and they probably had more tracks than they know what to do with, that's good. You ever go in there and you're all dressed up for church and they go, "Where have you been?" You know, like, "I've been in church." And you look a little set apart. And because a lot of people are not a whole lot set apart in the way that they go out in public. But God is great. He is distinguished by rank, by office, by power. He is elevated. We serve a great God, don't we? The Bible says, "For thou art great. There is none other like God." God is greater than our problems. You say, "I've got problems." Well, guess what? We have a great God that can take care of your problems today. There's nothing that God cannot do. He's greater than our problems. Guess what? He's greater than our sins. You say, "Well, you don't know me." Well, let me say this. Well, then you don't know God. There is no person too far away from God that He will not save and He will not forgive. You say, "You don't know what's in my past. You don't know what's been in my life. You don't know what's been in mine either." But God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can God do that? Because He is a great God. He is a great God. Again, people want to blame God for all the wrong and the evil in this world. Let me tell you this, that is not God's fault. God is great. You sing that song, "How Great Thou Art." There's certain songs you think we must sing that in heaven. "Amazing Grace," "How Great Thou Art," "Holy, Holy, Holy," because God is great. If you get your eyes fixed on your problems too long, you're not looking at God. If your eyes are stuck on your sins too much, it's because they're not on God. And I'm not trying to make light of problems and light of our sins, but I'm trying to make big of God. He is great, but is He great in your mind? He is not only greater than our problems and our sins, but He's greater than Satan. He's greater than Satan. Satan is defeated. He's going to take everyone down along the way that he can, but Satan is a defeated foe. One day Jesus Christ will come back to earth and He will defeat Satan once and for all and lock him away, and that dirty trickster will never get out again. Satan is defeated. God is greater. You start looking around here and it gets discouraging. May I discourage you for a moment? We're in a year of elections, if you didn't notice that. And I'm thinking, Lord, help this nation. But know this, no matter the outcome, God is greater than all of that. Our hope is not in the White House. It's in the Word of God and in God's house. God is greater. The book of 2 Samuel says, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like unto thee. Neither is there any beside God." There's no one else on God's level. There's no one else like God. You cannot say there's God and somebody else. It's God and everyone else down below, because God is great. Is God great in your life? Are you focused on the goodness of God? How great God is today? But I want to look at this today as well. "For thou art great and doest wondrous things." If we could take a moment and just praise and thank God for the wondrous working of God, we'd be here all day. Don't worry, we won't do that. But He is great. Then it says this at the end of verse number 10. It says, "Thou art God." What's the last word? Alone. There's no one else like God. Look at verse number 8. It says, "Among the gods," little g, notice that, "there is none like unto thee. O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works." You ever looked at something that someone built and went, "That's great." And then you see something someone else made and said, "Well, that one's a whole lot better than what that one has made." You can try to do something good with your life, but when you see what God does, you say, that was God alone. There's no one else that can do that but God. Who else could part the Red Sea but God? Who else could have water come from a rock but God? Who else could have the sun stand still but God? There is none other besides God. God is at the top of the list, and there's no one else even on the list. He is God alone. 1 Timothy says, for there is one God. There's one God. You can try to name any gods you want, but those are the little g gods that's mentioned in verse number 8. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. There's a lot of little g gods in the world, but there's only one true God. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's no one else that's perfect, sinless, eternal, holy, just, and that came to be the payment for our sins. He is God alone. Ephesians says, for there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is one true God. There's one God with a capital G, and there's a whole bunch with a lowercase g's, because there is only one God. 1 Corinthians 8 says, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Hey, without God, we're nothing. We looked at that last week, not meaning to re-preach the message, but there is one true God. God's name is at the top of the list. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. In Genesis, he is the Creator God. In Exodus, he is the Redeemer. In Leviticus, he is our sanctification. In Numbers, he is our guide. In Deuteronomy, he is our teacher. In Joshua, he is the mighty conqueror. In Judges, he gives victory over enemies. In Ruth, he is our kinsman, your lover, your redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he is the root of Jesse. In 2 Samuel, he is the son of David. In 1 and 2 Kings, he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. In Chronicles, he is the intercessor and the high priest. In Ezra, he is the temple, your house of worship. In Nehemiah, he's the mighty wall protecting you from the enemies. In Esther, he stands in the gap to deliver you from your enemies. In Job, he's the one that stands by us through our struggles. In Psalms, he is the song. He is the reason to sing. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he is your purpose for life. In Song of Solomon, he's your lover, your Rose of Sharon. In Isaiah, he's the mighty counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. In Jeremiah, he is the Balm of Gilead. In Lamentations, he's the Ever-Faithful One. In Ezekiel, he is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the one who assures that dry, dead bones can come to life again. In Daniel, he is the Ancient of Days, the Everlasting God, who never runs out of time. In Hosea, yes, I'm going through all of them if you didn't notice. In Hosea, how long can he go? All the books of the Bible. In Hosea, he is your faithful lover. In Joel, he's your refuge, keeping you safe in times of trouble. In Amos, he's the husbandman. In Obadiah, he's the Lord of the kingdom. In Jonah, he's your salvation, bringing you back within his will. In Micah, he's the judge of the nations. In Nahum, he is the jealous God. In Habakkuk, he is the Holy One. In Zephaniah, he is the witness. In Haggai, he overthrows the enemies. In Zechariah, he is the Lord of hosts. Now to the New Testament. In Matthew, he is the King of the Jews. In Mark, he is the servant. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he is the Savior of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the rock that followed Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty, setting you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. Thank the Lord for that. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he is your faith. In 2 Timothy, he is your stability. In Philemon, he's your benefactor. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power behind your faith. In Peter, he's your example, your purity. In John, he's your life. He's your pattern. He's your motivation. In Jude, he's the foundation of your life. And in Revelation, he is your coming King. That's the God that we serve. There is none other that deserves to be on that list. Not you, not me, not anyone else set up. He is God alone, period. He's the only one that deserves to be on that list. He is truly God alone. Look at verse number 11. It says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Verse 12, it says, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, for thou," it says, "with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever." We see this, that God is good, that God is great, that God is God alone, but also God is to be glorified. How could we, as a sinner saved by grace, not glorify God? The Bible says, "Let all that hath breath praise the Lord." If God has put breath in you, praise the Lord. If God has saved you, praise the Lord. If God has blessed you, praise the Lord. Has God done anything good in your life? Then let's praise the Lord. He is, the Bible says, greatly to be praised. 2 Samuel says, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised." He is worthy. There's a lot of people searching for praise today that don't deserve the praise. But he is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all honor. He's a God above all gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. And yet with all that, he's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my helper in time of trouble. He's the one that went to prepare a place for us. And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." But then he says this, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Do you know you're saved today? Do you know you're a Christian today? Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? He's the only one that came from heaven to earth to be the perfect sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins, the Lamb of God, to pay for the wrong that we deserve. Hey, we deserve the punishment of our sin in a place called hell. That's what I deserve for my sin. People think, well, I say, "Well, I'm good enough to go to heaven." You're not good enough to get anywhere. And especially, the Bible says, we're not good enough to get to heaven, but we're bad enough to get to hell. That's what we deserve. For all have sinned. You know that all means everyone? We try to lift ourselves up and say that we're good. The Bible says there are none that doeth good, no, not one. There's not a single person that will stand before God on your appointed day and say, "I'm good. I deserve to go to heaven." How can I just say it plainly? How arrogant it would be to stand before the holy God and say, "I deserve to go to heaven because of what I've done." And God said, "Wait a second, you don't know who I am and what I've done for you then, because the only way you're getting to heaven is through Jesus Christ." He is greatly to be praised. Have you trusted in him as your Savior? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We deserve punishment, but God offers a gift of eternal life. We don't deserve heaven, but God offers heaven. Aren't you thankful for heaven? What we see by, what we have by faith today, we'll know by sight someday. Heaven's a real place. It's not just a myth. It's not just a dream. It's not a hope so. Heaven is real. He is greatly to be praised, the Bible says in verse number 12, "I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever." He's greatly to be praised because he is my God. He's not just God, but he's my God. Is he your God today? Is he that friend that sticketh closer than a brother that you get to walk with and talk with and spend time with? And he directs us and guides us and helps us in our life. When he is that person to you, then he is greatly to be praised. But how often does God get blamed, ridiculed, cursed, mocked, forgotten about, trying to deny the existence of God, how foolish is it to walk in the body that God gave us, on the earth that God created and spoke into existence, and say there is no God? How arrogant is it to say there is no God when God in His Word told us and taught us how He gave us life? He gave us land and all that we have, and then He gives us eternal life. To think that we're anything special, we're not. To think that we've arrived in some way, we haven't. He is greatly to be praised. To be glorified is to be lifted up, to be exalted, to be praised. Hey, we serve a God that's worthy to be exalted. We serve a God that is worthy to be praised. But have you been praising God with your life? Have you been praising God with your speech? Have you been praising God? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, when He's greatly to be praised, there's nowhere that I should go and not tell someone about Jesus Christ. How could I not tell them about my Lord? One day you'll see Him face to face. You ever think about that moment? Where He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of the Lord. And we'll fall before His feet and before His face, and we'll worship God for all eternity, as the angels do surrounding the throne. Holy, holy, holy. And we get to join that chorus someday. And He is worthy to be praised, not just now in this earth, but for all eternity. And you get to stand before your Savior. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. He is good. He is great. He is God alone, and He is to be glorified. Is He your God today? Do you just know about God, or is He your God? The Bible says the devils even believe in God, and they tremble. The devils aren't going to heaven. Just to say, well, I acknowledge that there's a God out there, doesn't get you to heaven. He has to be your God. By simple faith, accepting Him into your heart, realizing as a sinner, you deserve the punishment of hell, but trusting in Jesus Christ that He died, was buried, and rose again to be the payment for your salvation and mine. And by faith, you believe and ask Him to come into your heart. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you get saved. That's how you can know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you go to heaven through Jesus Christ. He is God alone. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. He is God, whether you acknowledge Him or not. He is great, whether you praise Him or not. He is good, whether you know it or not. But is He your God? Maybe you've been saved for decades. Realize this, He is still greatly to be praised. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your Savior today. You've just heard about Jesus Christ for the first time, realizing that as a sinner, you don't deserve heaven, but the punishment of hell, according to what the Bible says. But if you, by simple faith, open your heart, believe in Him, and ask, He will save you today. And you realize He's not just God, but He can be your God. Hey, there's a whole big difference between God being God and Him being your God. He is your Creator, but is He your Savior? Head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Would you stand to your feet? Is there one or more in this room that would say, I don't know for sure that if I died today, that I go to heaven, but I'd like to know that? You know you can get that settled right now in the service. Right now you can get that settled. We can have a man show you from the Word of God a few verses from the Bible. You don't have to come up and say any speeches or confess any sins or anything like that to us, but to God, you can look at the Word of God and trust Christ to be your Savior. Brother James will be staying in front of this pulpit here in a moment during the invitation time. Would you come and take him by the hand and say, I'd like to know how to be saved? Maybe you say, I know I'm saved, but I need to just praise the Lord today. That should be all of us. The invitation time begins, the altar is open. If we've spoken to you about baptism, if you would come forward, please, and prepare for that. The altar's open. If God spoke to your heart, He is good. He is great. He is God alone, and He is worthy to be praised today. Thank you. this time, if God's spoken to your heart about this need of salvation, don't chance your eternity. They'll get another opportunity. I'm not trying to scare anyone, but if this is your chance to get saved and you don't, for all eternity, you'll remember this moment. If you know you're saved, there's that assurance of salvation that the Holy Spirit seals in your heart. Would you praise Him, thank Him today for God's goodness? Lord, for your goodness, for your blessings. Help us, Lord, to praise you throughout the day and every day for how good you are to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.